please like, comment, and subscribe.
Hi, I'm Kim.
Hi, I'm Tora. And this is our second season with Kicking It with Kim and Tora. So today we're going to have three topics. One, we're going to start off by saying there is a man that we should discuss, Bill Gates.
Okay. I really am concerned with the things that Bill Gates is saying these days. Now, we all know that several years prior to the COVID pandemic, he essentially predicted, he told us, you're going to have a pandemic. And then we did, and it was COVID. And now all the news outlets are reporting that Bill Gates said that COVID is no longer, I want to get it right. He said that COVID risks have, quote, dramatically reduced, end quote, but another pandemic is coming. And he said, quote, it is all but certain, end quote, that another pandemic is coming and it will be a different pathogen. So in my mind, he's saying we've gotten all we can get out of COVID and now we're getting ready to hit you with a new one. Be prepared, because that's what he seems to be saying to me.
So does a pandemic always mean a virus, or it could it
mean
something else?
That's what he's saying. I don't know that a pandemic is or isn't always a virus, but he's saying there's so many viruses out there that it is definite, absolutely, we will have another pandemic and it's going to involve another pathogen. And now, so of course I started looking him up because that's a concern to me. And then there's this thing where he's done a little video saying how excited he is to announce his new book called How to Prevent the Next Pandemic. And in that book, according to this video I saw, he's telling us why we did not manage COVID as well as we could have in terms of taking so long to get the vaccines out to all the countries, including the developing countries. Mm-hmm. And he has a three-part solution for what we should do for the next pandemic, one of which causes me great concern because it's global pathogen surveillance systems. Mm-hmm. So he wants to connect the whole globe and be able to, I don't like monitoring, and I certainly don't want you monitoring everyone across the globe. Mm-hmm. So that is a problem. And I just feel like Bill Gates is not a medical doctor. Mm-hmm. He is not a scientist. He has no real good experience with vaccines because he's gone over to Africa and India and crippled and maimed and killed people. So if you or I start talking all about COVID like that, matter of fact, I might bleep some of this out because we'll get shadow banned or banned altogether, but he can come on, say whatever he wants, and nobody ever calls him on it, and people listen to him as if he has knowledge about
it. I don't think I was the only person. I mean, I know of Bill Gates for, you know, what he's done as far as computers and the internet, and I don't know him for any medical at all. So when I did, the very beginning of the pandemic, when he was on CNN, I couldn't have been the only person that was uncomfortable. And I was like, well, what is he doing on here talking to our doctor and telling our doctor stuff? Like, I couldn't have been, because they completely stopped showing him. He was coming on like once a week or stuff. And then everybody, I mean, he just completely vanished. So I know I wasn't the only one. Like, I'm not comfortable. You send somebody else, like send a doctor that you know or a scientist you know, tell them what you think or what you've learned. But I don't want to hear it from you, because that's almost like me trying to tell someone how to build a car. Like Susie Homemaker, I'm not going to be able to do that. I can tell you how to do a lot of things, but one thing I can't tell you how to do is build a car. So I would not want a person like him telling me anything about a virus and about anything about what to do to take care of the virus or fix it. So it made me uncomfortable. And I'm not saying he wasn't legit. I'm not saying he's traveled the world, and everybody knows knowledge is key. So if he's traveled and he's seen and heard and learned, he should be able to, but it was just the messenger didn't make me comfortable, because I don't know. I haven't seen, you know, you haven't shown the schooling or the traveling. I just can only assume it.
Traveling is not going to turn you into a medical physician.
Exactly.
And Bill Gates has made millions offer mm-hmm. the vaccines and the money he and his foundation have invested in vaccines. So in my mind, he's not necessarily the best person to be mm-hmm. talking about that to us. Mm-hmm. Also, another thing I saw in the same interview, mm-hmm. the interviewer asked him, well, is there anything we could do to prevent the next pandemic? Mm-hmm. And he said, do what Australia did. If everyone did that, you wouldn't be talking about
pandemic. I've been hearing about what
story.
He said,
he said, that's all.
So basically Australia just shut down their country.
And lock people in their home, forbid people to leave their homes.
Yeah.
Australia had some detention camps, I guess, for mm-hmm. lack of a better word.
And people who didn't follow directions.
I mean, come on, we're just
so that's what he wants. That's what he wants the United States to do.
He said across the world, everybody, if everybody does what Australia did, we wouldn't be talking about pandemic.
Okay. And I would like to know. Where's the scientific facts on that's going to help us or help any other country? What they did worked for them, and I agree. But
it didn't come work on, for them, in my opinion, it didn't work for them. It was heavy-handed. It was overreaching. The people were upset. I saw people getting arrested because they want to leave their homes, which shouldn't be a crime. I don't mm-hmm. think it worked for Australia. I think it may be a model for how mm-hmm. they might want to control the rest of the world, but it was not a good thing.
And is it to stop us from getting sick and people dying? Because from what I've heard, based on his wife and him, we are overpopulated anyway. So now you want to save us, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You want to save us. But we're overpopulated. I'm confused at this point. Like, I really would like to have that explained to me, that if we're overpopulated, the world is getting overpopulated, you want us to stay in the house so we can save lives. What are you doing with the, is that part of the stop populate? Because I think that would make us populated any more, don't you?
Remember,
like people in the homes, husband and wives, boyfriend and girlfriend, shacking up. I mean, sex is a big deal. I mean, what do you know what I'm saying?
Are you funny?
I'm just saying, like,
if they keep us in the house, there's going to be more births.
That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, to me, my common sense don't add up to everybody else's, so I get that. But I just can't imagine if all of us are in the house all the time, not me, of course, but just, you know, childbearing women and men who are very fertile, are locked in a house for months on end with a woman or women or men, you don't think sex and babies are gonna pop up out of this thing?
I do think that's a good point, but to directly respond to that, remember the TED Talk excerpt from Bill Gates that they were showing on the internet?
Where I do remember.
The population needed to be reduced. And I know that his dad had that same opinion.
Bill Gates' dad?
Mm-hmm. And the population needed to be reduced. And if we do a good job at X and Y and vaccines, mm-hmm. we can cut this by some percentage, he said. So, I mean, I just think he's suspect. And he is not the person that needs to be developing our pandemic strategy. I don't think that we need to be, and this is like straight programming. I don't think that we need to be adopting a mindset that another pandemic is absolutely coming and that there's going to be one behind the other.
But where's the history? Because I believe that everything had to happen in life, that there's a, I mean, if we still believe in God, now, if we don't believe in a divine being, then, what happened before there was vaccines, that the whole world wiped out, and that's why he wants the vaccines? Like, is that how history?
He's not saying that. I think most of us, we may not, like a person like me, I'm certainly not a believer of any organized religion, but I believe in the divine creator. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Like, we had a smallpox, we weren't alive.
I know, the world.
Pandemic or epidemic, and it was handled, and they moved on. Mm-hmm. So why now, all of a sudden, can we not handle this and move on? Why do we have to adjust our mindsets to the notion that there's going to be another? And then, of course, you know, there's going to be another.
Mm-hmm.
And he also talked about, mRNA vaccines being so easy to make and that we should have enough so that if something jumps off, we should be able to vaccinate the whole world mm-hmm. in 6 months. But it is the mRNA aspect that mm-hmm. makes those arguably genetic modifications. So I need Bill Gates. I mean, I'm over him. I need him to get off the stage, mm-hmm. go away. If you want to spend money on vaccines, go over in your corner and do what you want to do. But I don't need to hear another word from him.
I would love to hear someone connected with his mindset and have someone answer. I hope this video goes viral so they can answer our questions about, you know, how is it that, you know, you want to depopulate some of the world because we're overpopulated, however you want us to all quarantine until this is eradicated. However, we know what could happen when you put people together in a house. So are you giving us birth control? Like I said, not me per se, but of childbearing age, are you giving us some type of birth control to make sure that doesn't happen? And I always use the jailhouse saltpeter substance that people always said that they put in the food of the prisoners to keep them from having a sex drive. So what are they going to do to diminish that? Because that's number one. You cannot, everybody's born with that knowledge. Every creature is born with that knowledge. So
and the other
point, we don't have people out there hunting deer. Deer are going to be out there getting it in, and they're going to be out of pocket. Mm-hmm. You know, and all the other animals that it's got to be somebody out here to tell us how it makes sense. You got to tell our minds. Our minds work like chessboards. Okay, if this happens, then this happens, and then this happens. So then what?
And also the bigger conundrum of how is it that the guy who believes we're overpopulated and mm-hmm. need to reduce our population, mm-hmm. how can we believe that he's so concerned with saving our lives? It doesn't make any sense. But you know, one thing you mentioned to me is that a lot of Blacks are saying that they fared better during this pandemic under Trump than they're faring under Biden.
Yeah, I'm hearing that amongst my own inner circle, and I'm hearing it on social media a lot. People are saying that, you know, financially, they felt like they were better under Trump. They said at least when they turn on the TV, they were looking forward to whatever antics or, you know, funny thing he did or crazy thing he did. And, you know, they didn't feel like war was going to even happen. And I know you've been seeing it lately that, you know, Russia, you know, invaded Ukraine and, you know, people are worried about that. And our internet, they've hacked that, the government, you know, internet. So it's just like all of these problems are happening under our administration now, that if you voted for the Democratic administration, and it didn't feel like you were just free falling. It felt like, you know, there was some texture to the world when Trump was in it. Like you kind of knew what the next thing was going to be. You okay, kind of okay. knew that he was being friendly with people he probably shouldn't have been friends with, but you didn't know where that was gonna go. You didn't know if they were taking his kindness for a fool or they both were playing each other. Under this administration, you know, he doesn't like you, you don't like him, and y'all are about to fight.
Trump was kind of tight with Putin. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he mm-hmm. never, and even the yesterday or today, he said, you know, he's a good man, very unique.
Oh, he came up with his good man quote again?
Yeah, he definitely gave him props today, you know, so even in the midst of what's all this going on. So it's kind of like, I think that people financially were better because Trump did give out a lot of money. What people consider a lot of money.
A bit of money. How much were those stimulus checks?
Well, they got stimulus checks, PPP loans, PPP and grants.
Loans,
PPP yeah, so loans. A lot of people got a lot
of people didn't let it go to jail over those PPP loans but at least they got some money.
At least they got some money. And then even if they do go to jail, that money can be considered spent. So when they come out, they still can have that considered spent money, you know. But you know,
that's true. Another problem that I think is affecting that, I haven't heard people saying that, but I will pay attention. But another thing is that inflation is through the roof under Biden. So even if you're making the same money, if everything's the same, you have less buying power, less ability to save.
Yes.
And so it's a big
problem. You've got food and not on the shelf. You have gas through the roof. You have food that is on the shelf. You're paying $30 and $20 for packs of steaks and chicken and anything. It's astronomical priced. So it's like people don't feel like it's evening out. Like they at least have some money to spend, even if things were high, you know?
And not to mention that he seems to have dementia. Biden seems to really not be all there. Or is that just me? I mean, I know it's not just me because I've seen other people comment on it.
Yeah.
He isn't even like, you know?
People are whispering that, and he is a man of age. You know what I'm saying? He is up there in age. So it's kind of, I'm not saying that goes with the territory. You know, so many
people. No, I don't think so. Mm-mm.
Who are older and have it all together. But, you know, he has suffered a lot of tragedies in his life. And we all know that can cause.
I mean, I'm not wishing it on him. I'm just making an observation that many times he loses his train of thought. He says things that don't make any sense. And he doesn't really, unfortunately, appear to be all there. And I've seen other people comment on it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, all of that goes together. But I think the inflation, has he given, I don't get stimulus checks, but has he given any stimulus checks?
No, he's haven't given any money to anyone. Not even the colleges are feeling what he claimed he was going to do. Trust me, I know, I have too. And Donald Trump was on the verge of fixing even that part before he left. You know, he was going to start giving grants to, you know, certain income, single parents, single moms, you know, even married couples who were on a certain pay scale and kids were in college. Like maybe the first one had to pay half, but the second one didn't have to pay any. And it was, he was on the verge of doing all of that, but he didn't. So it's kind of like now.
It's so crazy though. All the blacks were out of their mind on how they had to get rid of Trump.
Yeah.
Other than Harris. Harris is a dud.
I think it was
opinion.
The media. I think it was the media. I think the media, I was just seeing someone on social media post how the media can just really control our minds and really like have us seeing and thinking things that aren't there or are there, you know?
I mean, I think that's a part of it, but I think there's a bigger issue of Black people voting for Democrats as a knee-jerk reaction with the result that Democrats never do anything for us. They just come to the Black churches and say stupid.
It's not going
to
happen this go
like
around.
This clown said to Charlemagne, what was it? If you don't vote for me, you're not Black. They just say and do anything. And then they give money to everybody else. They pass laws for everybody else and they ignore us. And the next election, all the Blacks run out and vote Democrat again.
Not this time. I think this is just my opinion. I think they messed up this time. And I think they messed up this time because Donald J. Trump gave so much income to low income people. And those were those people who went out and voted for Biden. And now Biden has done nothing for them. Now, had Trump had did nothing for those people, they would have still been riding that Democratic wave. But this go around, I promise you, it's going to be a landslide. And I think that's why they are trying to get him locked up or get him, you know, locked for something he did.
You're saying you think Trump's going to run again and win?
110%. He's not a quitter, so you know.
I thought you just meant some Republican. I wasn't aware that you.
No. I think
the word has been out there. The whispers have been. There have been whispers about he's coming back. He started doing rallies.
Yeah, he's doing campaigns and stuff right
now.
Even
now. Yep.
If he ran today, I promise you, people who talk and don't want to get put down by other people. They're going to go in that booth and they're going to vote for that man, because I'm telling you, I'm hearing so many people be like, okay, Biden, you've been here 2 years almost now. Trump was doing all of this within a year. Like, he had money in our pockets. We felt like, oh my God, you know, he's crazy. He's this, he's racist, he's that. But we had money in our pockets. We were able to open businesses. We were able to pay bills. We were able to go places and do things, you know, in spite of the pandemic. So with the pandemic going on, it's like, okay, now the world is open up. You know, you telling us to get back to work and try to be as normal as possible. Where's the help? We need help from what, you know, there's no more help. You just pulled the blanket out. You're not sending any more money out. You're not giving us any more loans, grants. Nothing is happening. Kids are, you know, nothing is happening financially. So I really think
Okay. Well, I'm just going to let it go because I don't believe in the political system very much, but I'm going to say.
And I'm just a messenger. Doesn't mean I'm voting for Trump or Biden or the Democrats either. I'm just the messenger telling everyone what I'm hearing on the streets.
And I think that's valid, and I'm glad you're sharing that. And it's important to have an ear to the ground to hear what people on the street are saying. I'm just talking about as a general principle, it would be nice to have a choice other than a party that has always taken us for granted and done nothing, and a friggin' racist. Because let's face it, Trump is racist. At least he behaves in a racist manner, and he says racist things. Mm-hmm. If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, but I don't know. But it would be nice to have like a real option that is good. These people has.
See, I think what woke people up was he said it out loud who he was, but then you have this person who's not saying that out loud, but showing you that. Because what has Biden done for Black people? And what is Kamala, my vice president, who I definitely voted for and love?
Indian vice president, who you all thought was going to pretend to be African American, has always identified as Indian.
Because I don't understand how we have not one law, one agenda passed for Black people yet. They keep saying the Child Care Act, the child care. It's like, baby, come on now. That's not protecting our babies that you're telling us you're giving us money for child care. Like, come on now.
Kamala's pretty much MIA, wouldn't you say?
I think everybody has said that.
They assigned her the border issue and people were ticked that she didn't even appear to be working on the issue. But listening to you, I think, and I understand that you're not saying this is my opinion. I'm trying to share what people are thinking. The thing that occurs to me is that we legitimately did not like Trump because he is not for Black people. And the words out, well, he did things for us, but he spoke poorly about us. And the way he behaved resulted in Americans across the country becoming more blatantly racist. That's a problem. We all know that happened. Now we get Sleepy Joe in office, okay? And he's done nothing for us while in our faces doing things for other people, just basically giving us stupid stuff, Juneteenth Day. I mean, just really being offensive, really. And now what I'm hearing, it appears, word on the street, people are coming back around in support of Trump. And my position is, the same jackass he was before, he remains now. And just because the devil that you have in the office now is worse, doesn't mean we go back to the lesser devil and start talking about how great he is. They all suck. We need to figure something out. If those are your only choices and people want to pick Trump, I'm not going to object to that, but you have to do that being well aware of the man he is and of the way he changed the climate in our country. He is not going to change.
That's something I could never forget. Like, it was racism across the board, not just United States, Canada, everywhere. People were just treating, China, people were treating Black people as if they were like garbage. And you're like, when did this start happening? Like, are you for real?
It was open season.
It was open season. And I think the rhetoric that he introduced under his administration with having people freely treat people and women and Black women like that, I believe set the tone. And he didn't denounce a lot of it. He didn't denounce
any of it. He called them good people. I mean, it was off the chain. And I understand what you're saying. All I'm saying is, let's not let the fact that Biden is so bad make us forget
how bad Trump was
under Trump.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the only concern I have.
I totally agree with you. But like I said, I don't even fear it. I kind of just think if something doesn't change within the next 2 years, it's going to be a landslide.
You might be right.
Trump supporters, because if that's the only two people they have to choose for, money, bills getting paid, you're able to do things for yourself, or this and not have anything. Like, you don't have any rights. You don't have any, what the Asians had, the bill of
stop protection. Asian hate.
Oh, yeah, stop man. Asian hate. We didn't even get that, you
we
know?
We didn't get anything. Mm-hmm. We got a few token things that nobody wanted, but we got Maya Angelou mm-hmm. on a coin. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we got Juneteenth Day. We got a bunch of stupid stuff, but I don't know. I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. Humans have short memories.
Oh, yeah.
Something so exceedingly bad as
Let's Joe just Biden. Call it out. I think Black people have short memories. All I'm sorry. Them. I know a lot of people, but I feel like Caucasian people, to me, can hold on to a grudge a lot longer. I think if Barack Obama had gotten office and screwed this world up and made people suffer and feel bad, you will never see a Black person in power in anything. They would set it up to be like, see, that's y'all example. And we as Black folks don't feel like that. We don't say, okay, you see how, you know, this person did that and this person did that. We'll make sure that, you know, that type of person is never put in position again or power again. We don't have that.
Because we're always like, forgiving. Yeah, we have more so, more humanity, but that works against us and they know it and they use it against us. Yep. There's something else you mentioned to me that I want you to share because I found it very interesting. And that is the study about whether the order in which you're born affects mm-hmm. who you are or how you are?
Well, that's something I've just started reading about based off of my kids. You know, okay. I feel like it was not a pecking order of the order I was built, just in my parents who they liked more. But now that I've been reading it, I get it. Because you have your firstborn child that everyone is so excited, whether it's a boy or a girl, they're excited. So then you have your secondborn child. If it's the same as the first, and no one's really that excited. You know, if you have a girl or a boy first, and then you have the same second, you know, nobody's, okay, we already did that. But then you have the third child who might be, let's say a boy. Say your first was a girl, your second was a girl, and your third was a boy. Well, now we're all excited again because now we have this brand new baby boy. So it's almost like that order of what you were born in and the gender of what you were born in, I think sets the mindset of how you get treated.
Because what if it's girl, boy, girl? What if it's girl, boy, girl? How does that play out? Or boy, girl, boy?
I believe if it's the same way. I think you're happy you have your baby girl. She was first. And then you have your boy. He was second. And now you have the throwaway kid who is one of either, you know? And I really believe that's the order and what I think it comes both ways. Now, the article I was reading was like, well, if you're first born, you're more precious and you're wrapped up in bubble wrap. And then the second one is like, go on, eat that chip off the floor. And then you got your third one again.
There's some truth to that.
It is, it is. And it doesn't necessarily messes you up. I think it depends on the individual because these articles, some kids are truly messed up by these pecking orders. I'm mm-hmm. not one of them. So I wish other kids wouldn't be so blatant about blaming, you know, my mom, she didn't care about me, or my mom, you know, was more in love with my, you know, sister who, because she already had two other, you know, boys, and then she
Do
got
you
her
feel
girl.
That your children are affected by that pecking order and the male, female, female piece?
I think my oldest daughter tried it. I think she definitely went to, you know, I'm the middle
She's
child.
The first girl.
She was my first girl, but she still tried to, when she found out about the middle child thing, she tried it. She tried it so hard. And I was like, Mia, stop. I was so happy to have you in my life that it was not even possible you have middle child syndrome.
Okay.
And she tried it. She wanted to pretend like, you know, her younger sister was, you know, the bubble wrap child, but she wasn't. Mm. It was definitely her. But and I know the difference. One is independently stronger than the other. And I know it. I hope they know it because I tell them all the time, like Victoria is almost two years younger than Mia, but Mia could not walk around the mall at 14, 15 by herself. Victoria
paved the way for Victoria.
But Victoria could, but and Mia could go once Victoria, if Victoria could go. So Victoria would have been 13 walking around the mall.
Say it one more time.
Victoria could be 13 walking around the mall with her 15-year-old sister. because I felt like Victoria had more maturity.
Well, the article said that the oldest has a special place and the youngest has a special place. And it said that the oldest spent some time with the parents alone. And then the youngest, because he or she is going to be around longer, gets some alone time. But that's not the experience that you found.
Yep. I didn't find that. I found like, I think that as you get younger, your responsibilities get diluted. You know what I'm saying?
As a general rule, I agree.
Yeah, because I know I don't remember making sure that a bottle was sterilized by the time I had my third one.
And you I think parents I get less uptight. We're like, oh, the first child is like, oh my God, I gotta save him. I can't, is he breathing?
Yes.
All of that. By the second child, okay, I know how to do this. I'm gonna roll with it. I would be curious to know what my kids think because I have one girl and one boy. Well, and the boy is the oldest and the girl is the youngest. So everybody has a favored position. Your favorite because you're oldest, your favorite because you're the baby. I don't know. I always just will always say I don't have a favorite, or both of you are my favorite.
But according to my daughters, my son is my favorite and he's spoiled. And I don't see it that way at all. Like, I feel like I'm hard on all my kids, but according to them, they're like, Mom, if we did half the stuff Steve did, or you would never catch us if we fall as much as Steve falls. And I'm just like, what? They really feel that way.
There is a saying that mothers, and Black mothers in particular, I think we mentioned it before, they raise their daughters and do what with their sons?
We raise our daughters and we love our sons.
Or something. I mean, I think that, I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty but much
I know like, I'm conscious of that. I'm very conscious of that because I know my mother loves her sons. And she does, like, they're her world and they're her man. That's her man if she doesn't have a man.
My mother said that about her mother, my grandmother on that side, that her mother loved her sons. And my father was the only boy with two girls ahead of him and two behind him. And it is known that he was the favorite. And when I came along, it seemed like she just put that right on me. That's my grandbaby. And she had a many grandbabies because she had a many kids, but she loved my father.
Really?
And so, but I love both of my kids. I mean, I know you do too. I love all your kids. And I just hope that they don't feel that way. I might try to tape a little excerpt from them.
That would be nice.
What do you think? And show it next time. I think we were supposed to do that a long time ago. Maybe I'll get around to it.
Yeah, I was going to actually do that on my, when we go to California, I was going to do a taping of Gimme My Roses and ask of the pecking order that they think they fall into, just to hear people hoot about that. Because
everybody will be there, right? So they'll all get to say whatever they want.
Yes. And I usually, that is what it's about. It's about me not stopping them, no matter how crazy it is, telling me, you know, what they feel and what they think.
I mean, just to finalize it, I do think, if I have to be honest, which I always try to be, that I allow my son to do more than I allow my daughter to do at the same age because of how society is. Mm-hmm. And I felt that the risks for her were higher than the risk. But you know, it's probably not true because they're pedophiles and going out with boys and snatching up. It probably wasn't true. It probably was a misconception, but be clear that my daughter had no problem pointing it out. And I had to say like, okay, well, who you going with? Text me. You know, I had to back off of that because she was like, well, you let him do such and such. And I'm like, yeah, I did.
See, and that was the direct opposite with me because my son was pretty much already gone by the time they started doing anything anyway. He was out of the house in college anyway. So I feel like I did raise him the exact same way I raised the other two. Like, okay, you can go and do this and you can stay out till this time, but you have to be in at this time. It wasn't ever a thing where my son could stay out till three and I didn't let my daughter stay out till three. It was never
the same curfews and stuff, but I do think I don't know. I'm going to ask them. It wasn't a different curfew. It wasn't different. Well, they did get different allowances because he was older than her. So mm-hmm. when I gave allowances, he got a few extra dollars.
It was never different allowance. I said, I got to remind myself to write that down. There was never different allowances either.
Oh, yeah, I gave them different money. It was based on their age. It wasn't all that much, but he got a little bit more from me. And I don't know what else it was, but I'm going to ask her. It wasn't blatant, but I always felt like, you know, he could go somewhere with some group of boys and it would be safer than her going there with a group of girls, you know.
Well, how about the way you talk to them? Because my kids swear for God that if one of them talked to me the way the other one talked to me, they would be, you know, swapped. But
I think my daughter said I used to be meaner to her. I don't think so.
See, that I get that all the time.
Well, not anymore.
The youngest do it.
See, they're grown now in my mind, even though I still financially support them and all of that. I don't really have problems with them. It's just like, hey, are your grades on point? You working your job? If you're not presenting problems, I'm not going to make any. As long as you're handling your business, you're good with me. Now, if those grades drop, if you're on my case for money all the time, I mean, I'm going to give you money, but if it's you don't have any, then because you're not working, then we might have some problems. But I really don't really have a bunch of issues for my kids anymore. But, you know, we'll see. I'm going to ask them. And if they bring up anything of interest, I definitely will share it.
Absolutely. And we'll have to revisit this. Hopefully we can finally get them on this season so we can, you know, have some telltale truth, hearing it straight from their mouth, you know.
Yeah, maybe we can get them to call in and just participate and say whatever they want to say.
I would love that. I would love for them to do a Zoom with us. Like I said, I know they're busy, but we just got to just set it up and let it happen.
Yeah, I'm going to ask them. Ask your kids too. And let's see. Well, I'm glad this was another... To me, they're all interesting. Another interesting episode. And I'm happy that everyone joined us and viewed it. Drop your comments. We appreciate them. And we appreciate your viewership and your support.
Absolutely. And thank you for kicking it with Kim and Tora. And please always like, subscribe, comment, and make sure you pass this on to other people because we need more viewers and we want you all to participate. We have interesting comments and even more to come.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Good night.